Father, we thank you for your love amongst us, God. We thank you, Father, for just fellowship. Father, we thank you for the fellowship of your Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you that, Lord, we're sitting here and it's not just natural stuff happening, God. It's not just natural relationships, but it's your Holy Spirit in our midst, God. It's Jesus in this place binding us together, God, for your purpose, for your glory, Father. And Father, this evening we just pray your glory over this evening. Father, let Jesus be lifted up above this place. We thank you that you draw all of us and all men to yourself. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Everyone says, amen. Amen. Awesome. Thanks for those testimonies, guys. Thanks, band. Thanks, guys, for pulling through. Donna. Right, so we've been busy with a series in small groups, and I know some of the students have been at a meeting of this week, a big group where we were speaking about it. But let me just quickly see, who of you have been part of the Love One Another series? If you can just quickly, who of you have been blessed by the series and grow in deeper relationship? I think that's the goal and purpose of this series. And I want to just quickly touch on it and almost round it off tonight. And I'm not going to like touch on the topic because it's such a comprehensive topic. But what I do want to touch on is one specific thing that I believe the Lord still wants us just to grasp in this process of loving one another. So if you're visiting us tonight, or if you're new tonight, well, firstly, my name's Reno. I'm the pastor at the church. My wife is Liana, and she's at home with the kids because we had a wild weekend. My boy got 2 yesterday, and so there was lots of sugar, and he was running around quite a bit. So we're quite exhausted. Little toddlers keep you busy. But so if you're visiting us tonight, you're not going to miss out. But I really want to encourage you, even go and ask someone that you maybe know, one of the small group leaders, just for the content of the Love One Another series. And just read through it. Just work through it. It's really such powerful stuff, such real stuff. And I think part of the reason why we're going through this series is because we're saying, listen, we want to get real. We want to be real. We want to have real relationship. We don't want to have superficial, flaky stuff. We don't want to come on a Sunday and, you know, be all, you know, things are going blessed. And that's why it's awesome when we get up in church and, you know, half of us put our hands up when we say we had a bad week. You know, it wasn't really a nice one, because that's real. And then we can have real relationship, and that's awesome. So I want to just quickly ask, and I'm just going to run through a couple of scriptures tonight, but I want to quickly ask some interaction here at the start. What in your opinion, was Jesus' greatest miracle that he did while he was on earth? What is the greatest miracle? If you just had to, don't overthink it, don't think too long, just the first thing that comes up, what was the greatest miracle Jesus did? Water to wine. Okay. Okay, someone likes that. Say again? Okay, people like Lazarus, raising them from the dead. Yes, that's an awesome miracle. Anyone else? Pulani. The disciples? Making disciples. That's awesome. Awesome. Absolutely. Making disciples. It's amazing. They had to get saved, salvation, and then in the process to walk with him. Anyone else? Raising himself from the dead. Okay. Okay. Yes? Multiplying the food. Someone's a foodie. I can see that. Hey, I would also like that. That's awesome. No one mentioned walking on water. That's one of my favorites. But obviously, you know, in looking at Jesus, he did amazing stuff. You know, in the short period of 3 years, he did stuff that no one has ever done before, never happened, and awesome stuff, and lots of them continuously, lots of healings, and people being set free, deliverance, and all kinds of things happened in the time of Jesus. But the greatest of these, and I've sort of thought about it, but to me, if I think of and I look at Scripture, the greatest miracle that Jesus did in his time on earth was to turn 12 misfits into people that fit together, all right? 12 people that couldn't get along with each other. 12 people that were, lots of them, they were almost outcasts of society, but to bring them together, to transform them, is that powerful. But I want to argue even more powerful was the fact that they came together and they loved one another. I said this morning that that it's the only miracle that took Jesus 3 years to do. You know, all the other stuff he did, like, you know, raise the dead instant, healings instant, all of them happened instantly. But this one took 3 years. And I mean, this is Jesus we're talking about. It took him 3 years to perform these miracles. But I want you to see it this way. If Acts chapter 2 says that they were of one accord, the disciples of one accord. In other words, they were at utmost unity when they were in their upper room and the Holy Spirit came down. But now, can you imagine if they were not? Can you imagine if they did not have that love for one another that Jesus built into them over the years? It would have been an absolute disaster. You know, the Holy Spirit would have been poured out. There would have been power. The church would have been born. But you know what? If I think about it, a couple of weeks later, there would have been a church split. Right? Okay? But it didn't happen. The church exploded. You know, that's, I spoke about it last week. This church exploded. Within 100 years, the whole of Asia was evangelized. And, you know, the whole Roman Empire was conquered for Christ. Right? Amazing stuff happened. But now if Jesus had not done that miracle in the hearts of 11 people, it wouldn't have been, the church wouldn't have been what it is today. And of course we see, you know, many wrong instances in history, but that 11 people were changed and transformed, and a massive miracle happened in their hearts. So for us this evening, I don't believe in coincidence. I believe God knows exactly what he's doing. I believe God knows exactly where you are, the fact that you're here, even the fact that you're visiting, or the fact that you're a member in this church. He knows. He's not confused. And I often say this, but I firmly believe that I cannot get to my calling and my destiny without the people that God has placed in my life. I can't get there. That's why Jesus says that he's created his body. You know, the one is a hand, the other one's an arm. And this body works together. You know, we see in part, we know in part, we prophesy in part, one day we'll know in full. So we cannot do it without one another. And I think often and many times the lie of popular Christianity today is that you can do it by yourself. You know, and we get this idea from American Christianity and all kinds of influences, but it's not biblical. You know, we need one another. For Peter to walk in his full destiny, he needs the other 10. For Paul to be an apostle and to do what he does, he needs the Jerusalem church. They needed one another, and that love was such a crucial ingredient. And I want to just focus on that one thing that, you know, the Lord's been working this in our hearts. We've been laying the foundations. We've been talking about the covenants. We've been talking about a lot of things. The Lord has been working a lot of things in our hearts. But this one thing I just want us to focus on tonight and allow God to do that miracle and to give us something. I'm going to talk about it now. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 10. It says, "For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you." So it says, for the mountains may depart and the hills be removed. See that dramatic picture? The mountains, before God's love will be taken away, his steadfast love, before it will be removed, the mountains will be removed. In other words, God is saying, listen, it's It's steady, my love. It's constant. It's unconditional. It's not going to get taken away. The amazing thing about God's type of love and the way that God loves and has relationship is what we call covenant. Covenant is God saying, listen, humanity, I'm going to teach you what real relationship is because you don't understand real relationship. Real relationship is the way that I have relationship with you. I commit myself to you and I'm not stepping out. Think about that for a moment. Is that a bit radical? If you would go to someone else that you don't know, you say to them, listen, I'm committing myself no matter what happens, I'm there for you. That's quite a radical statement to make, right? So God does this through Jesus, through His Son. He makes this statement. He does it in the Old Covenant with the Jewish people. In the New Covenant, He does it with everyone, all nations, every tribe and tongue. Whosoever comes is willing to come, becomes part of this covenant and this steadfast love that God wants to give. Now that's the sort of relationship, and we see Jesus continuing this in Luke chapter 22 when He institutes the new covenant once again with the 12 disciples. He says, let's break bread, let's tell you the symbols of this new covenant, and that is the blood and the bread, and they resemble this new covenant, right? But He says once again, I commit myself to you. I'm giving myself to you, and I'm not expecting anything back. I'm a covenant God. I'm not walking away. So Jesus comes into this world, and let's use that picture of the disciples. But He spends time with them for 3 years, and He shows them, He demonstrates this love. But I want you to see one thing, and this is the one thing that I'm talking about tonight that I believe God wants to just give us. And that's the following. Let's read Mark chapter 6, verse 15. I want you to notice this thing. I'm going to read a couple of verses. For they all saw Him and were troubled. This is Jesus now walking on the water. And immediately He talked with them and said, be of good cheer, I am. Do not be afraid. And He went up into the boat to them, and the wind was cut off, and they were very much amazed within themselves beyond measure and marveled. For they did not understand the miracles of the loaves, for their hearts were hardened. Now, I don't know if you caught that, but when I read that that last part, this part here, for they did not understand the miracle, I was like, but that's a bit weird, because it's not talking about the miracle of the loaves. The miracle of the loaves precedes Jesus walking on the water, but what does that have to do with this scene and the fact that Jesus is walking on water? And the fact is, the phrase there that is used to describe the disciples when they saw Jesus is they were afraid. Okay? Now, we're going to see this a bit later, but fear and hardness of heart is connected. All right? What is the opposite of faith? Fear. Right? So, if you've got fear, you cannot have faith. If you've got faith, you cannot have fear. They are mutually exclusive. They don't go together. The opposite of faith is not unbelief. The opposite of faith is fear, right? So they had fear, but the root of that fear was the hardness of heart. They had hardened their hearts. Now, you'll see this, and we're going to look at another couple of verses, but their hardness of heart, and hardness of heart is very much connected to faith. You know, every time Jesus rebukes His disciples, it's about them not having faith because their hearts have been hardened. I hope you're with me. Mark chapter 3, verse 5. And looking around on them with anger, being grieved because of the hardness of their hearts, Jesus was actually saddened by that place in the hearts. And He said to them, stretch out your hand. And He stretched it out, and His hand was restored whole like the other. And we're going to come back to that picture just now, that case where Jesus healed the man. Mark chapter 8, verse 17. And knowing it, Jesus said to them, this is two chapters later, why do you reason that it is because you have no loaves? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Have you still hardened your heart? Once again, we see it again. The food being multiplied. And Jesus referring to the fact that they had still not accepted something of who he is because their hearts had been hardened. And then we go all the way to the cross, and after the cross, Jesus standing up out of the grave, appears to his disciples, and then it says, afterward he appeared to the 11 as they reclined, and he reproached their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. So it almost looks like a failure. Almost looks like you know, Jesus failed with these 11 guys. Even after his death, you know, he had told them about his death. He had told them what was going to happen. He told them what needs to happen. But still, when they heard them reporting that he raised from, they didn't believe it. And once again, the reason Jesus gives is because of a hardness of heart that happened in them. So hardness of heart, we see, results in not believing God in for what he can do. It's interesting, every time the miracle of the loaves come up, and what is the character of God? What is the thing that the miracle of the loaves communicate to the people of God, or the people that were there, the Jewish people? Is the fact that God is the provider, right? Now, you cannot have faith in God as the provider if your heart has been hardened. Do you see what we're getting at? Is God is this God of relationship. God introduces relationship. In fact, Genesis 1 speaks about that perfect relationship that God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit has. They have perfect communion. They have perfect relationship. So right from the first, the beginning of time, in fact, the beginning of Scripture, God explains relationship and how relationship works. And he invites us through his Son Jesus into relationship. And all he requires is a place. And this is what I want us to see tonight. And we're not going to be long, but we're going to just give God just the opportunity to do a work in our hearts. But what he just needs from us is a place where we make our hearts vulnerable to trust him, so that he can then do a work in our hearts and soften our hearts. And in that softening, we begin to understand who God is. We begin to see, you know, have an expectation of God coming through in supernatural ways. We have an expectation of the character of God. I remember a couple of years back, and I've just been reminded of this week, there used to be a New Age fair, a holistic fair at the River Club in Observatory. And so we used to take teams there. We used to put up a stall at the New Age fair, and we would do, I see some people smiling, they remember, we used to do psychic readings for people, healings, and what was the other one? Dream interpretation. We sometimes did different things. But we would put up a stall, and then all the New Age people would come, and we would pray for them, basically. And we would learn like a new lingo, you know, the New Age lingo in order to engage with people. But we'd actually just pray for them in the name of Jesus. We would be really honest with people and say, listen, by the name of Jesus. So, but we would learn how to engage with the people. And it's really amazing. So many miracles happened. One of the personal shifts that I went through is the fact that God, you know, some people outside of the church are more open to the miraculous than inside the church. It was like a bit of a wake-up call. What we would do sometimes as well is, you can actually engage with unbelieving people. You know, we can engage with unbelieving people in many ways. It's not just one way. And remember, one of the ways that we actually helped people get delivered before they saved, you know, unbelievers, is like I said, we used very New Age terms just to connect with the people. But we would say, people would come to us and we would say, okay, well, do you want to connect? You know, this new age lingo. Do you want to connect with the spirit of all truth? All right? And normally, new age people, you know, they all want to connect with anything. You know, anything that's like a spirit, we'll do that. That sounds fun. So we do that. We say, okay, well, let's connect you to the spirit of all truth. And you say, spirit of all truth, will you please connect with this person? Then we say, you don't want to believe in lies, do you? You know, and who's going to say, yes, I want to believe in lies? You know, everyone's going to say, no, I don't want to believe in lies. So then we say, okay, well, do you mind if I take away every lie? So we say, okay, thank you. We, spirit of all truth, we cut off all lies now. Everything that is lying to this person, we stop now. You know, and we'd actually see deliverance happening as people connect to the spirit of truth, and we, you know, allow people to connect to Jesus. You know, and we were very upfront about the fact that we just do things through the name of Jesus. We don't do it through any ways. But it's amazing when we begin to open up ourselves to love people out there in the world. God is so willing, and the Holy Spirit is so eager to give us ideas and ways to connect with the world, because He loves the world. All right? Now, in that same way that we connect with the supernatural and have faith for God to do awesome things, to do miracles, in that same way, God wants to soften our hearts, not just to Himself, but to one another. I remember there was a time in my life when I realized that there are things in my heart that doesn't hinder me from relationship with God, but it hinders me from relationship with people around me. And those were idols. See, idols come between us and God. If there's an idol, anything that comes between your relationship with Jesus in that way and fills that void is an idol. But in that same way, you and me can have idols that hinder us from loving one another. What is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. Okay? Now, an idol can separate us from our brothers and sisters. And Jesus had not intended for us. He said, in fact, and we're going to read it now, as God directs us towards, in this covenant love towards one another, and that's what we've been working through in the small groups. John 13, verse 34, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. As I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this all shall know that you are my disciples if you have love toward one another. See, God wants us to connect in a real sense. God wants us to have an expectation of something that brings Him glory in a relationship. See, if I've got a relationship with Matthew, you know, there can be a mutual benefit to our relationship. There could be a good reason for us coming together. Maybe we've got a common interest, or maybe there's something that I can learn from Matthew, so I'm building relationship with Matthew. And that's great and fine, except covenant relationship is so much better. Because there's something in my relationship with Matthew, the fact that God has placed us together, that brings glory to God. And that is a greater reason to have relationship. That is a greater place of relationship. But you know what it requires, and we've been speaking about it all evening so far, is faith. Because if I look at Matthew, I don't just see Matthew. I see what God had intended with the relationship. You see, I think we so often miss this. We build relationship and we, you know, we like things, and you know, this relationship is going well and it's going good until there's conflict. And then we avoid the relationship, or we move on. You know, or if we've grown a bit more mature, we stick it out a bit longer. But there's a place where you don't stick it out. There's a place where you realize, God, you've put us together. God, you know, we know you're not confused. There's something in this relationship that I don't look at Matthew in the natural, and maybe our disagreements, or maybe our cultural differences, or whatever it is, I look at God, because God's not confused. He knows, and He's bound us together. And that's the sort of relationship, that's the miracle that Jesus did in 3 years' time So much so that we see the, one of the greatest events in history, the birthing of the church. Jesus did something amazing. The book of Acts speaks of the Holy Spirit being poured out. But then, and we looked at it last week, the end of the book of Acts chapter 2 says that they had community. They had community. They went from house to house. And it says that they had favor with all the people. But the people looked at them. And in fact, it says that the people out there had a great fear. You know, and it wasn't a natural fear. It wasn't like we're scared of these people. There's something around these people that is not natural. You can't describe it because stuff happens around them because there's a real love amongst them. And God, it almost, I believe it excites the Holy Spirit when he sees it. It excites the Holy Spirit when we have real love one another, and then there's an outflow into the community, outflow of the supernatural. The community being blessed by what is happening in this place. So this evening, I know we're talking about something massive. I know we're talking about a massive miracle because it's easy to believe God for, you know, something supernatural, but it's very hard to believe God for a relationship that has gone a bit skew to be restored. The married people in the house, you would agree. You know, it's very easy to have a relationship with someone that's at a distance from you. But once that person gets really close, it becomes tough, right? Because they begin to press on your buttons, they begin to come into your space, and then it's really hard to love that person as Jesus loves the person. And that's the sort of love that God wants to work in us and through us so that the world can begin to see God's glory in and around us. Is everyone with me tonight? Okay. So I know we're coming from different backgrounds. Some of us don't know half of the other people, and that is fine. If only you can recognize, but listen, God is busy here. God is, you know, the fact that I'm sitting here is not coincidence. God is a God of amazing stuff. He's placed me here, and he's going to work it out. He's going to work out the details. He's going to work how I fit in with the people. Because if he's placed you here, then he knows how you fit in. And some of us, you know, often believe the lie that we don't fit in. You know, but if Peter thought, if he bought into that lie, maybe that's why it took 3 years. But if Peter bought into the lie that, well, listen, he's always the odd one out, you know, he's not really going to make it, or, you know, maybe he must go and do his own ministry or thing. Guess what? Peter would have missed it. Because Jesus and God, the Father, had appointed those 11 to be together and to love one another. And do you know what? Peter didn't get to choose the other 10 or 11 disciples. You know, he didn't get the opportunity. He was just stuck with those, you know, fishermen, you know, and Luke the doctor. You know, he was stuck with those people, but he had found the grace to connect to God, the faith to soften his heart, not only to Jesus, but to John and to all the other disciples. Because Jesus had prayed for them that they would love one another, and that grace filled their hearts. And then I want to just emphasize something that is so important. Matthew chapter 26, verse 28. This is the covenant that God gives. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. So not only does God forgive our sins, and it's once again that picture of covenant with our relationship with him, but then it goes to our brother or our sister, where we continuously walk in that sort of grace. And once again, it's supernatural. It's supernatural. It's not natural. Jesus going to the disciples saying, listen, you must forgive your brother 7 times 7 a day. If he sins, you know, you must forgive him. That's not natural. It's not humanly possible. I don't know. Sometimes we get a bit weird in today's church. We've got lots of faith for the miraculous and healings and everything to happen. And we want to see lots of those, and we will see even more if we get this right. But we really struggle to believe for just relationships to heal, relationships to mend, trust to form between one another, because our culture doesn't enforce it. Our culture does the opposite. Our culture separates us. And whatever culture we're talking about here, our culture separates us. But God's love binds us together. And the only way we can access that, the only way we can experience that, is if we have faith. If we activate the faith that God has given us. And I almost want to call it relationship faith. God says, Jesus says, we've all been given a measure of faith. Jesus is the author, right? And we've got that faith. None of us can say, yeah, well, I don't have that sort of a faith. No, you've been given it. It's just about an activation of that faith. So this evening, I want us just to have a real moment where we're going to pray for that to happen. A real faith to have real relationship. A real faith to go real deep. You know, because what should happen is the deeper we go with God, the deeper our relationships around us should happen. All right. Are you with me tonight? Okay. Are you excited? Awesome. Ben, can you please come up? So I'll be quick, but because I really want us just to spend time as the Holy Spirit just directs us and gives us that capacity and that ability to love. So I want to just, while every eye is closed, if you're here tonight and firstly, if you recognize the fact that your heart is hardened, and it's very simple to recognize it, you'll know it. Because the Holy Spirit would have been pointing out to you that there's something in your heart that prevents you from having relationship. It's like an obstacle. It's like a block. It's like there's a lack of responsiveness in a hard heart. Ezekiel says that there's a place where my heart has become a heart of stone. Then he says God gives him a heart of flesh, a soft heart. Now, firstly, before we're going to pray for our relationships, I want to just most importantly pray tonight and give you an opportunity. If you're here tonight and your relationship with God has grown cold, there's a disconnect between you and the Father. There's a disconnect between you and Jesus. It's not real. That love for the Father, for Jesus, you're not experiencing that. That hearing of the voice of the shepherd, you don't hear the voice of the shepherd. Then I want to just give an opportunity tonight while everyone's just praying. If you're here tonight and you feel disconnected, maybe you've never made a public declaration, a public statement of your faith, like Rose said in her baptism, then I want to just give you an opportunity while every eye is closed. If that's you, just quickly slip up your hand. Thank you for that 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 hand at the back. Thank you, Lord, for your perfect love that casts out all fear. Thank you for that hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That you're the lover of our souls. And I thank you for every one of these people that have responded to your love right now. I want to ask those of you that raise your hands, I want you to be very bold. In fact, I want everyone, if you can just stand, and those who raise their hands, won't you please just come to the front? Because we're going to pray for you. We're going to just come and confess the goodness of Christ. All those people, they were couple of people. Won't you just quickly come forward? You can just stand and face the front. A couple of other people. Just quickly come. You know, you need to be in front. Don't worry about the person next to you. Just say, God, I'm coming. God is into restoring. God is into giving. God is into loving us. He wants to give that love. So I'm just going to ask you guys to even pray like you're coming to Christ for the first time. I know some of you have been walking with God, but it's just the purity when we say, God, come deeper into my life, and I give all to you. So we're going to just all pray together. And if you want to respond and you were just a bit shy to come forward, it's fine. Just pray this prayer where you are and join us. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you tonight. And God, I confess, I am unable to change myself. And I ask of you tonight that you would come in. You would come and make your home inside of me. Make me new. And I thank you, Lord, for life. And life in abundance. And I invite you, Lord, to save me to the uttermost. I give you, Lord, everything. I give you my ambitions. I give you my dreams. I give you my relationships. I give it all to you, Jesus. Come and be Lord over my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to encourage you guys. Just have some facilitators coming forward. But I want to really encourage you guys. There's a place, and I remember it was a very specific place in my life where I realized, well, God hasn't just saved me, but He's not just my Savior, He's my Lord. He's my Lord. And there's a relationship where Jesus comes in and he does save you, but there's a further place where you submit unto the Lordship of Jesus Christ. In other words, you're not the king of your own life anymore. He becomes the king. Because you can actually be saved and experience the fruit of salvation, but not know Jesus as the king. So just really felt it in my heart, and we're going to just pray together with you and just spend some time. And I want to specifically ask that you guys pray about that. Invite Jesus as the king, because he wants to guide and he wants to do amazing things in and through you. But he wants to be your shepherd. But he cannot be that shepherd that leads you into paths of peace and righteousness if he's not the king. So that's just awesome. And I want to encourage you and commend you guys for taking the stand tonight. So we're just going to pray together with you guys. Yes, Father, and from that place of just understanding and proclaiming your sovereignty, the fact that you're in charge, the fact that you're in control, the fact that there goes nothing happens without your knowing and your sovereignty in knowing our choices and where we are, and your choice in bringing us together, your choice in putting us together. We just come to bring our hearts before you this evening. And I want to just give an opportunity. I love those words that we just sang. You see the depths of my heart, but you love me the same. The fact that God sees what happens in our hearts, and sometimes the wickedness of our hearts. And I'm saying that for myself, and what I've seen in myself. But God sees it, but he still loves us the same. And it just takes all that pressure off. It just takes all those weights off and striving. And from that place, I want to just, while every eye is closed, if you're here tonight and you recognize in yourself a hardness of heart, and maybe it's towards God, maybe it's towards a brother or a sister, or maybe it's towards the church, but those two are connected. That place of relationship with God is connected to your brother or sister. If that's you, I want us to have an honest moment of just saying, God, if there's some work that you want to do, I want you to do it right now. Come and give me that soft heart. Come and take away this heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh, and give me the ability to connect to your love. So if there's anyone like that, won't you just raise your hand? I'm just going to pray over you. Just stretch out both your hands to heaven, like you're receiving grace from God, because you ask, you'll receive. So we're going to just ask for that grace, that God would give us the ability for hearts to soften. So Father, I thank you for your sons and daughters stretching out to the heavens. And in the name of Jesus, I declare open heavens now. for your sons and daughters. Thank you, God, that you come and give that grace, Father, for hardened hearts to soften. We thank you for healing now, Father. We thank you for the miracle of the cross, God, healing the brokenhearted. We thank you, Father, for your stripes, but through your stripes we are healed. Thank you for hearts to heal right now. And thank you, Father, that you do what only God can do. You do that perfect operation in hearts where you come in and you touch hearts. You're the great physician. We invite you to come and perform that surgery even tonight and heal. Mend that heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's not rush, God. Won't you just, where you're standing, just engage with Him. Say, God, I receive it tonight. I reject the lie. The lie that says that I'm alone. Some of you believe that lie that you're never going to fit in, you're never going to be a part. But Father, in the name of Jesus, we break that lie of isolation. We break everything that isolates your sons and your daughters from your people and from you. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for your perfect love and your grace, God. Great grace. I just declare great grace upon your sons and daughters. And God, we pray that you would make it possible. You would fill us. You would fill this room with your love, with your perfect love. I want to just give an opportunity for us just to come forward. And it's just a symbolic stand saying, God, I'm allowing you to complete this work in my heart. If that's you, you raise your hand. I want you just to come forward. Just saying, God, I'm just coming to your altar. I'm coming to take a stand, God. I'm coming to give you the right to work in my heart. Give you the right to soften my heart. Give you the right to come in. Thank you, Father, for your sons and daughters. And you're drawing us to the Father. And thank you for that drawing of hearts, that connecting with the Father, your perfect love. Thank you, Father, that your perfect love casts out all fear. All fear. Even as your word says that fear involves torment, but that perfect love which you want to perfect in our hearts is right here. Even as by your Holy Spirit you fill our hearts with your love, we ask that you would do that right now. Fill our hearts with your love. Fill our hearts with your love. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Can we just have a couple of people just coming forward, and we're going to just pray with you, but I want you just, if you're standing in front, don't wait for someone to come. You begin to speak to God. You begin to just speak to God, make those hearts commitments, saying, God, I give you that space, I give you that place to work in me, in and through me. Any other prayer need, feel free to come forward. We're gonna just spend time in the grace of God, where God just extends His mercy, His grace towards us. can I just ask, while the people aren't praying in front and ministering one to another, if we can just, where you're standing or sitting, why don't you just pray with someone next to you, maybe groups of three or four, just asking God for that love amongst us, and that we'd experience it. And the Bible says that God pours out His love into our hearts with His Holy Spirit. So can we just do that where you're standing, sitting? Why don't you just grab someone next to you if you feel comfortable? Let's just pray one for another. Let's love one another and allow God to open up that channel of grace where He pours out His love into our hearts.